In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Let me take you back in time. George Washington was about 240 years ago. Columbus about 525 years ago. Julius Caesar about 2,050 years ago. We're going to go back, let's call it 12,000 years ago. Way, way back to a place called Babel. It's a time when everyone in that region all spoke the same language. People were growing strong. They were getting arrogant. Their city was fortified. And they started to build a giant tower reaching into the heavens so that all their neighbors would be afraid, so that the whole world would know who they were, so that they would be intimidating to anyone that came their way. And God comes down and he sees what they're up to. Sees what they're doing. Poetically speaking, you might say he was impressed. God says, if these people continue speaking the same language, nothing will be impossible to them. If they keep speaking the same language, nothing will be impossible to them. In other words, if this keeps up, they can do anything. When everyone speaks the same language, nothing is impossible. That's God's assessment. That's his own words of what's going on. And it says in the story that God confused their language and he scattered them to put a stop to it. He wasn't going to allow this to continue. Now, someone might ask, why? Why not? Why not let man do whatever he can? Well, my question to that would be, do you really want a people who put their trust in might, in the sword, in every man for himself, in arrogance? Do you really want to put them in a position where nothing is impossible to them? Yikes. If they all spoke the same language, you know, where would there be to flee? Or worse, what if we became one of them? What if we became that? Now, if you jump with me forward to a time only 2,000 years ago, to a different city called Jerusalem. Maybe you've heard of it. The disciples of Jesus were waiting together in one place, and there's a sound of a violent, rushing, mighty wind. A sound that was so strong, the whole city, or at least that neighborhood, came running together to see what was going on. In that sound, the Holy Spirit comes upon them and allows them to speak in whatever language is necessary in order to proclaim the wonderful works of God. Preeminently, that God has worked love in the person of Jesus Christ. When it says the crowds came together, we know there were at least 3,000 because later that afternoon, 3,000 were converted. But there were some scoffers. Maybe there's 4,000, maybe 5. We don't have an exact count. But they start listening. They come together because of that sound, but they start listening. What attracts them to stay? What lures them to actually listen? It was not theological arguments. It was not a judgmental attitude. It wasn't that we're better than you. It was that the Holy Spirit, that God himself, had filled each disciple, and that in turn, they proclaimed the wonderful works of God. This was about God, that God's love was manifest in his Son, Jesus Christ. And they did it in that person's language. They did it in a way that those people understood, each one understood. They did it in a way that spoke to them. Now, can you imagine a world in which everyone hears the wonderful works of God in a way that speaks to them themselves? Can you imagine that kind of world where the love of God spoke to every individual person in a way they can hear it? Now here's the irony. By using multiple languages, the disciples speak with one voice, this love of God. If you have a bulletin handy, look on the back. Right here where it says Kentuckian. We just sang that song. The first two lines are about Babel, that city some 12,000 years ago. When the Most High came down and confused the tongues, that's the story I just told you, he divided the nations. But when he distributed the tongues of fire, he called all to unity. Why would God now undo what he had done in Babel? What's different now that he is willing to let man speak with one language and call all to unity? Well, then the unity was based on military might and arrogance and selfishness. Now, unity is based on the wonderful works of God. Unity is in the love of Jesus Christ. And the message of love of Jesus Christ is what attracted these crowds on Pentecost to remain and be converted to him. Now, I don't know if you follow the British royal family. I don't. But some of you might. But I guess they had some kind of wedding last week. About 1 billion people tuned in. I think about that number, 1 billion. 1 billion people tuned in, not necessarily live, but over the course of the next 48 hours. Bishop Michael Curry, head of the American Episcopal Church, gave a sermon. And I didn't see it until just yesterday because I was encouraged to watch it by a number of different people. Well, I'm glad I did. It was a sermon for the ages. It was fantastic. It was amazing, and it was spirit-filled. First of all, because it was solely on the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God, the love of the Holy Spirit, which extends then to the love of neighbor. A sermon on God's love. He used the word love 58 times in 14 minutes. And consider his audience. 1 billion people. 1 billion people heard his sermon by now. You want to talk about God calling all to unity? It comes when we allow his Holy Spirit to speak in us the wonderful works of God, no matter how many people are listening. When our language is love, the love of Father, the love of Jesus Christ, the love of the Holy Spirit, that language is what's going to call us to real unity. Near the icon of Pentecost, on the front of your bulletin, on our banner, in the middle of our church, the icon of Pentecost is one of my favorites. You know, all icons are interactive in one sense. I mean, we're supposed to be drawn into the event. That's what they're there for. But Pentecost in particular is an icon that is interactive. You have the disciples sitting in a circle with Jesus at the head, invisibly, of course, and the Holy Spirit coming down upon them in tongues of fire. Now, someone might say it's just a semicircle. It's not a circle, Father. Well, it's a circle when we join in. It's a circle when we take up that front part that's left open for us, when we take the bench that is reserved for us. We form the lower half of the circle, and that's what makes it interactive, because we are also recipients of the same Holy Spirit. And therefore, we are capable of speaking the same language of love that the disciples spoke. You know, Jesus said to his disciples after his resurrection, he came into the midst of them, and he said, "As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. I am sending you." And then he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," because we are being sent. Now, Bishop Michael Curry joined that circle and spoke to about 1 billion people. You may never have an audience that size, but you can speak that language. You can speak the language of love in a way that someone's going to hear and it's going to mean something to them. You can speak the language of love into the hearts of somebody longing for that love. Imagine if we all spoke that language together. If everyone, even in this church, what is there, about 30 people here today? If everyone in this church spoke with one voice, spoke the love of Jesus Christ into a broken world in a way that they could understand, in a way that speaks to them, in a way that opens their heart, in a way that softens their heart, that is the gift of the Holy Spirit calling us to unity. Some 12,000 years ago, God came to a town called Babel, where some folks were building a tower. And God made this observation. He said, "When these people are speaking the same language, nothing is impossible for them." So he took that gift away for a long time, until he could show us the way of love in his Son, Jesus Christ. And now on Pentecost, he's giving that gift back. Imagine then what can be done if we all speak that language of love with one voice. God can't be wrong. God cannot be wrong. If we speak in that language of love, and when everyone speaks the same language, then nothing will be impossible. Amen.
Amen.